A production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Gibson?
Here.
Gosch?
Here.
Hamill?
Here.
Hoffman?
Here.
Killer?
Here.
Lust?
Here.
Mosier?
Here.
Shockaway?
Here.
Turbeville? Hunt?
Here.
Cutler?
Here.
Madam Chair, 12 of 13 are present.
We do have a quorum present. Well, good morning, everyone. Once again, we are at our last meeting of House Judiciary. The Chair seeks approval of our prior minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Hunt.
Second.
Seconded by Gibson. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Our minutes are so approved. Well, it seems funny not to have a calendar in front of us, doesn't it? We're here today for the purpose of determining any recommendations from the Committee for Summer Study, and since we are meeting as a committee, the way we'd like to do this is to have you just simply present your idea in the form of a motion with a second, and then we'll take a majority vote on it. That way, your submissions come with the support of the committee rather than you certainly are free if you think of something down the line to take a form like this and fill it out yourself. But since we are having this meeting of the committee to consider summer studies, I think if your committee is supported by a majority of the committee, that may give your study a little boost. So that's the way I'd like to proceed this morning. And so with that, we can open to ideas for summer study. Representative Gibson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I recommend that we do a study of the sex offender registry.
Is there a second? And would you like to tell us about that, Representative Gibson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we should study who gets on the registry, who should be on the registry, how one gets off the registry, should there be more registrants eligible to get off the registry, and review the process to get off the registry. Persons or agencies involved in this study would be the Attorney General's Office, LRC, and Unified Judicial System.
Any comments on the Gibson motion? Representative Ingalls.
I think that's a good idea. On the registry right now, we have indecent exposure, which is a Class 1 misdemeanor, and I'm not sure that misdemeanors really belong in the sex offender registry. But I think we all received an email from somebody West River earlier this session who, you know, if what he said is true, maybe he would be a good candidate for a removal from the registry if that were available. So I think it's probably a good idea for us to study that a little bit with the input from the Attorney General's office and see if we could make it more effective and give people an opportunity to be removed from there if they are a good candidate for that.
I would also support your motion, Representative Gibson. I know that at the time we did the criminal code revision, we were also presented with a lot of information about what had become federal law regarding those required to register on the sex offender registry. So it's not a simple thing for the legislature simply to take a look at a crime, for instance, the one Representative Ingalls described, and make a decision about it, because we also have to stay in line with federal law. So I think it's really an appropriate topic for study. Any further discussion? Representative Hoffman.
Madam Chair, I think this is a great study, and I'll tell you why. I have a very good friend who is living in Aberdeen and in college was accused of date rape, found guilty, he fought it and lost. At the time that they were going to implement the sex offender list, he was married, had two children, coaching sports, club sports in Aberdeen, and we petitioned the governor, Governor Janklow, to take his name, take him off, disvalue his crime. Pardon is the word I'm looking for, thanks. And a lot of business leaders from the community did. And in that case, Governor Janklow found it to be valid. He pardoned him and his name was not put on. And he is today one of the most kind, caring people that you'll ever run into. So that's one of the cases I think that can be looked at. I think the governor always has that power. Someone who made a mistake when they were young, does that need to follow through into their life? So anyway, I will definitely agree to this summer study. Thank you.
Representative Hunt.
Just a few comments. While I think this subject has received a lot of attention,
in legislation over the last several years. That doesn't mean it can't be another summer study. But even the email that we got, I wrote back to that fellow and I told him where the statutes were, basically, that he could utilize. Came back and said, yeah, I tried those. So, you know, I don't know that we necessarily need a summer study to maybe do some tweaking on some of the bills where we may need Representative Engel's recommendations and whether a misdemeanor should be and so on and so forth. I think that we can obviously all go forth and bring amendments to bills and whatnot, but I know we have studied it a great deal, so I'd be a little reluctant to put this very high on the summer study list. It certainly could be there, but I think there are probably some other things that we may find a little higher on the list. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Further discussion, Representative Feinstein.
I do have a question, and I don't know if this requires a summer study or not, but are there any other states with model laws or laws that already affect this and maybe, as Representative Hunt said, take care of that way? I mean, I'm not against the idea of a study, and maybe that's what we have to look at. Maybe we can preclude a study if there are things that we could deem are good. And I mean, and if we're just doing a study to garner attention, I don't know if that's the point. The point is to really be substantive in what we want to find out. And again, maybe it does warrant it, maybe it doesn't. But maybe that's something that we can, if we do move this forward as a recommended study, and if LRC or something finds that there are some laws that maybe as a committee we can look at on our own, let the e-board decide.
Well, and ultimately that's where these recommendations end up. So I think, I also agree with some of Representative Hunt's comments about, you know, we will have to be careful to have a prioritization of the studies, but I think the process now without a bill is that the e-board will make that that decision.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
Just a quick comment about this process as far as the summer study selection process is concerned. Number one, it doesn't matter how many proposed summer studies any particular committee submits. It's not a system in which every committee gets one choice. All of these choices individually by committee basically go to the e-board. Then the e-board puts that list together basically, may call out a few, but then sends that list out to every legislator and says to the legislators, what do you think we should have for summer studies? And those are brought back in and collated. And then the legislature picks, or the e-board picks a few of those, sends those out to all the legislators, and says to the legislators, which one, two, or three of these summer studies do you want to be in? So there's really a kind of a definite procedure for trying to select those summer studies that the e-board thinks are the most important and that, as a total, we think are most important. That's a little background.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. I think that's a very important piece of information, especially I know there are people listening on the Internet in terms of what this process will be and how long it takes. And so thank you for adding that to the discussion. Representative Hamill?
Just a follow-up question on that. The budget for summer studies is, you know, could you talk a little bit about that and what effect that may have on the number of studies that are done? I mean, do you have to sort of determine up front which studies are going to be more expensive than other studies, and therefore you could do more summer studies, for example, than less summer studies? Could you just discuss that a little bit?
Representative Hunt, would you like to expand on your comments?
Sure, and Madam Chair can obviously chime in, and our staff, Jackie, can chime in too. But typically the e-board will decide how many members should serve on a particular summer study. And you're probably looking at, oh, round figures, maybe a dozen to 15 members on a study. And there may be some evaluation based upon cost, but my experience, and when I sat on the e-board, the real determination was how important did the e-board feel this study was. There wasn't a lot of attention given to how expensive. Many times the e-board or the summer study committees will have people that will want to come and give testimony, and they come at their own expense. Many times private business groups will bring in guest speakers, researchers, scientists, whatever, to give testimony, all of which helps to keep the LRC budget down. But we've all seen in the budget that there may be some of our, quote, out-of-state monies that are going to be restricted this next summer. That may have an impact to some extent if there's a lot amount of traveling. And sometimes your summer studies do travel, like they'll go to Sioux Falls and convene there, or they'll go to Rapid City and convene there, or Aberdeen. So there's a certain amount of travel. There is a certain amount of cost. But I don't believe that that really gets to be a factor as to what subject is chosen. The number of subjects total may be within our budget, you know, in that sense. But one doesn't get a no just because it might be a little more expensive than another.
I would only add to that that I think the summer study process is an important process as well as the bill process in bringing ideas for task force. And that's because we have such a short session. We have, I think, the fewest number of LRC support staff of any state in the country. And so really, as a meaningful part of the legislative work that is done here, we rely on those concentrated efforts in a study to get the information to enough legislators so that when it comes time to address an issue that is more complex, we have enough people that have heard enough information that they can understand it and help it through the legislative process. So I think it should be viewed as an ongoing part of legislative work that we have, and I would urge all of you, as we head into our final deliberations on what budget cuts we're making, to make sure that we can continue to do our work, which is extended into some of these studies. Some studies have been more helpful than others over the years, but we've used that time to address very meaningful topics in a way that we really find difficult to address during the legislative process. So that's, I guess, my recommendation to us, even as a committee, that we not be limited in doing our work as legislators, because that's one way that we get it done. With that, any further discussion? Representative Hamill.
Just a question. When we went through the process in the Education Committee, we asked for past studies that had come out of that committee so that the newer members wouldn't duplicate effort. Do we have a similar list for this committee? As an example, I don't know if there was a study done on prison population. It seems like there was, you know, that sort of came out of the view, or maybe it's true that South Dakota has a higher percentage of people in prison per population than other states. I couldn't remember if that was a summer study or whether it was just ongoing debate. So
I think for the senior members of this committee and of the legislature, most of us have a reasonable memory regarding what studies have been done. And of course, we have some ongoing commissions that exist. For instance, the Corrections Commission is an ongoing commission that exists year in and year out, and they have been responsible for much of the work that's been done in that area. But it's not to say that we haven't had, in fact, the whole criminal code revision was a result of a recommendation from the Corrections Commission originally. So much of that work gets done in the Corrections Commission. Did you have another question, Representative Hamill?
No, I was just wondering if there was I tried to find it online, didn't look the right place, and that is just the basic list of recent studies.
I did some research on that and sent the page.
It's forthcoming. Thank you, Jackie. Further discussion on the Gibson motion? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion carries and will be sent out with the recommendation of the committee. Committee, I would like to suggest the topic of human trafficking. As we discussed, I won't belabor you with the same information that you've already had. If you notice, I think this was an article in yesterday's newspaper. It is a topic that's of importance statewide to us. This is the Argus Leader. just because you wanted me to announce which newspaper it was. It is a matter of importance statewide, and some of the information that we got during the committee hearing I think was helpful to generally educating people about the topic. There are certain events in South Dakota that have come to our attention, such as the Sturgis Rally, some of the activities surrounding the hunting lodges, and several other events across the state. And so the bill that I had was actually criticized for keeping the members few in number, and I did that specifically to keep the cost down for the study, hoping that we would still get the people coming to testify if we had the summer study. So with that, I would ask for your support for that study to be done. I need a second. Thank you, Representative Mosher. With that, is there any further discussion on the topic? That's okay. If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That will go out with the committee's recommendation. And I have one other that I'd like to present to you. It was the other bill that I had. And the reason for its importance is that we are highly dependent on federal funding as to our the policies and practices surrounding domestic violence. We have a number of issues that come up every legislative session dealing with protection orders and in the area of sexual assault and domestic violence. And so the study would be specifically to address that in terms of any statutory changes needed to make sure we keep our federal funding, especially in difficult economic times such as we're in. The state has no ability to increase any funding to these efforts. And so with that, I would ask for your support and ask for a second. Seconded by Turbeville. Is there any further discussion on that? If not, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Further recommendations, Representative Mosher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would move that we offer a comprehensive review of the South Dakota juvenile justice system. And particularly, I guess my interest would be as it relates to drug offenders. And I'll just talk briefly about it. In my line of work, I have a unique experience of getting to work with middle schoolers and high schoolers on a regular basis. And because of kind of the confidentiality that we have, I get to hear very candid remarks and, I guess, for lack of a better term, insider information about the world of being in a middle schooler and a high schooler today. And it's not juniors and seniors passing a joint after the basketball game. It's 10, 11, 12-year-old children, essentially, who are exposed to highly sophisticated, highly addictive drugs on a consistent basis. And I think our goal should be not to punish those children. Really, they're pawns in a larger game. I think we need to really evaluate how we are treating these children and trying to set them up for success in their lives. And I don't know that we're doing that to the most effective means possible right now. So,
is there a second? Seconded by Representative Lust. Further discussion on Representative Mosher's proposal.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
Could I ask the representative to read that once again?
Yes, you can. The title?
The subject or the title?
It's a comprehensive review of the South Dakota juvenile justice system. And my personal influence, and I've outlined this on the sheet, would be an emphasis on drug-related offenses.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, Representative Hunt.
I would make note that, and Jackie's staff's records may reflect this, but I believe it was about 1973 that we did a comprehensive study of the juvenile laws in the state, in part because they were spread all over the code, and we tried to pull them together in a comprehensive section or two of the code. And only a comment, I think what you're perhaps Representative Mosier looking at, if you're looking at a total revision of everything dealing with juvenile laws, that's one issue, or are you just looking at juvenile laws as related in some way to drug offenses, et cetera? Obviously, one is much more narrower than the other. And so I just, do you have a particular preference one way or the other?
Well, I guess first I would offer that any study done in 1973 is, 93. Even a study done in 1993, I would offer, is significantly outdated. I would be okay with narrowing it specifically to drug-related offenses, if that answers your question.
Further discussion? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would urge support of this study as well. I would prefer it be broader. If you talk to any circuit court judge or magistrate judge, there is a tsunami of issues we're going to have with kids who are not being served by our society, frankly. They're falling through the cracks at school. They're falling through the cracks in our judicial system. And there is really no landing place for them. And I think it's going to be a real big problem as we hope to get these citizens, young citizens, moving through and becoming contributors to our society. And I'm really concerned that that's an issue. I would like to see the scope of this broader than just drug-related. And I'm not necessarily confining it to revisions of our, or review of our criminal code. I think it needs to be broader in the sense that it needs to encapsulate treatment options, programs available for kids who fall through these cracks, because I'm not sure if they know they're out there and if they're being served by them. So I would err on the side of remaining this broad and maybe letting the study group determine where it goes a little bit, rather than maybe providing precision accuracy with the description.
Representative Mosher.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to comment on Representative Lust's comments, I would agree that the problem is much broader than just drug-related offenses. There are a number of kids, for a number of reasons, who are falling through the cracks, and it's not necessarily because of drugs, although I would submit that is probably one of the greatest concerns.
Madam Chair.
Representative Hunt.
And again, I don't intend this to sound negative. One of the reasons why I know the e-board likes to keep things as narrow as possible is you're looking at 5, maybe 6, maybe at the outset 7 days to cover this. And typically the first day or two that the group meets is just various agencies being brought in and discussing things. So the broader you get your subject, the less effective your study is going to be, is I guess what I'm simply saying. Not trying to be negative, because I think we certainly do have a lot of concerns with juveniles, but if you can narrow it down, your study will be more effective.
Further discussion, Representative Hamill.
Question for the sponsor. It's unclear to me whether this study is it about solutions within the juvenile system in terms of application of law enforcement or sentencing, or I've heard another reference or two to the fact that these kids are falling through the cracks in the system, or would your study even contemplate trying to determine why the kids are going in that direction in the first place? How broad is this?
That's a good question. I guess my initial thought was that it would incorporate much of what you're talking about, although taking Representative Hunt's comments into consideration, I guess probably it would be best, if we're going to shoot to really try to narrow it, it would be dealing with juvenile drug-related offenses within the corrections system. Does that answer your question?
Follow-up, Representative Hamill.
Interestingly enough, and those who are on the Education Committee, and there are at least four of us in this room, we had a similar discussion in terms of summer study and trying to determine if our focus ought to be on treating the symptom or getting at the root of the problem, And we were unable to solve that particular question in the Education Committee. Maybe this committee will do better.
I would only add that I know the as per the bill we passed yesterday, that the Attorney General's office will be doing a study on drug courts, or the UJS, excuse me. So I think that the information that you're seeking for the study you're wanting to do may dovetail quite nicely with what they're doing. Any further discussion? If not, those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? That motion carries. Is there anything further? Representative Shuckaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to get some of the other members of the committee's opinion on this. We may not be at the stage where we need it, but my thought is there merit in looking at some of our existing statutes? From the standpoint, we've had so many advances in technology. You know, you've got text messaging, you've got these social networking sites, internet, and all of these things are great. They make our lives much easier, but I'm reading more and more about, you know, you see the sexual predators taking advantage of these devices. You see stalkers. And I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there, especially for you attorneys on the committee, if there's an opportunity for us to be proactive with some of this and look at existing statute. And again, I don't know if this merits a summer study right now, but it seems like I'm reading more and more in the paper about advances in technology are criminals and perpetrators are using these things to advance. And so I just wanted to throw that out there. It's kind of outside the box and just see what people said. And like I said, I'm not pushing strongly for a summer study, but it's an idea that I think we could think about.
Certainly is a topic that is a moving target. I will tell you that over the years we have updated the code with specific crimes to those areas. For instance, we've added cyber stalking. We have a statute on that, and we've covered it in several different sections of the code, both in our communications section and in our stalking and harassment section. We've also addressed identity theft as well. But it's certainly something that we should keep our pulse on, Representative Shuckaway. Our finger on the pulse. Representative Feinstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've got a proposal here that hits the civil side of law, and I titled it Landowner Easements with Respect to Wind Energy Development. And I'd like to move the motion at this time to discuss the study.
And seconded by Representative Killer. Go ahead.
Thank you. I guess as I wrote in the box and I kept writing as I kept reading what they're looking for, it's a landowner easements, protection of landowner rights as to wind energy development, siting of turbines and wind farms, transmission facilities and substations and any other infrastructure. And the purpose of this, I guess, to come out of the judiciary is that there are some legal ramifications of it. And I think the whole point, too, is I believe out of State Affairs, there was talk about renewable energy and that. My point is that this could be, and I also said it could be combined with any other summer study that deals with wind and or alternative energy or renewable energy. And again, I want to make sure that the legal aspects are covered too. And I also think it's important, and this may be a little bit beyond the scope of judiciary, but I think we should also address in it how the state of South Dakota can capture revenue from the development of wind energy and its production. I'm thinking in terms of out of the paradigm of what we normally think of. For example, North Dakota, $1 billion surplus from oil, Alaska, all the revenues they get. Thinking outside the box, what can we do and how can we as a state try to capture some of this revenue without doing an increase of rates? What's happening in the oil industry and they're extracting it out of the ground? We'll be taken out of the sky. There's got to be some method that South Dakota can benefit as a state, and again, without harming. Anyway, that's the approach. As far as agencies involved, I believe PUC, Economic Development, the ag folks, tribal governments, I mean, you can keep going as to how many people are really concerned and should be a part of the legal aspects of how we go forward.
Madam Chair. Representative Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Feinstein, would you add to that? This is the perfect time to look at statewide tax, energy tax districts. The governor wants to see this. He wants a bill next year on his desk. This would be the perfect opportunity to put that into a summer study. It might even gain enough credence to where this is a study that is picked. And I'll explain this quickly. What you do, you have, let's just say, six tax districts, and all the energy production that's in that area, you split, let's say 25% of the revenue on property tax goes to the state, and the other 75% from that one gets split into that whole district. Now, I've been called a socialist for bringing this forward, but that's okay. We've got a little socialism in America. We always have. The second we took our first tax dollar and distributed it, we were playing the socialism game. Anyway, I think it's a great idea. Would you agree to putting that along with that study? Because that will be a major focus, is what drives the companies coming in. We need to give these, and I don't want to get too extrapolated on this, but you really hit, I woke up. I was almost falling asleep. Thanks. When you started talking wind energy, Hoffman came to the game. Anyway, thank you. That's for you, sir.
Further discussion.
Well, Madam Chair, I have no problem including it, making it as broad as we, contrary to Representative Hunt, but I would, anything we can do to enhance the movement forward of alternative wind energy, and again, coming back to how we can capture that for South Dakota, which plays, I believe, right into that, and I believe that could be an easy tie-in, whatever structure that is. The bottom line, I'd like to just see revenue coming in from the state that we can capture, however we do that. Again, thinking outside the box, and then however that breakdown comes, I think is well worth studying. So I would add that in if that's...
Further discussion? Seeing none, I think, Representative Feinstein, you kind of have a mixture of tax and legal issues in this, and perhaps the tax committee, or you may want to pitch that as a recommendation coming from yourself as well. If there's no further discussion, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed?
No.
That does carry, and we offended Representative Hunt's need for narrowness. Offense is too strong a word. We are at the end. If there isn't anything else from the committee, I know they're waiting on us next door. I do want to take this opportunity to thank Aaron Jensen, who's been our page here this morning, and Christian, and is there another intern? Would you please? Marissa. Yeah. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't know your name.
Alec.
And we have Alec in here, too. Thank you again, everyone, for your service. Representative Hamill.
Madam Chairman, at the risk of being accused of sucking up, I wanted to compliment you on how you ran this committee this session. New experience for me. Kept everybody on task. Treated everybody fairly. So I commend you.
Thank you for that. I want to thank you, committee, because you've made my job so easy. You've been a very gracious committee. You've kept yourselves very disciplined in your work here, and sometimes there's a tough job to do here. You've been very focused. By and large, our discussions have been nonpartisan, as they should be in a committee of this type, and I just commend each and every one of you for your discipline and your hard work and your preparedness when you've come to this committee. You made my job very easy, and I want to thank Madam Secretary, who has been just such a treasure for us here in Judiciary, and to Jackie Storm, who has helped me keep on the right track procedurally with what we're doing, and of course, Ruben, if you're listening, we wish you well and thank you for your service. We have just a token of our appreciation to all of you. I think I've given Madam Secretary hers, and Jackie, if you could pass that on to Ruben as well, we would certainly stand in appreciation of that. With the
Madam Chair, representative. Thank you very much to you and to Linda and Jackie for everything you have.
Oh, thank you. And I would be remiss without thanking our able vice chair, who has had to take the gavel for me while I scurry about here and there and have had my plethora of bills that I've brought before this committee. You are a gracious, hardworking committee, and I look forward to next year working with you once again. With that, the chair entertains a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Hunt, seconded by Turbeville. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.